You are listening to Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio, brought to you by M Relevance, because all of your marketing should be relevant. And now, here are today's hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by my friends and colleagues, Carol Morgan and Todd Youngblood. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Super duper.
Outstanding. We got Fisher Homes in the house. We're joined today by Jason Schwartz, who's the Atlanta Sales Manager, and Barry Gittleman, the Division Manager of Fisher Homes. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. Thanks for carving out some time to join us. Jason, let's start with you. Give us a quick rundown on you and your background.
Again, my name is Jason Schwartz. I am the Atlanta Division Sales Manager for Fisher Homes. I am about to begin my 20th year in real estate. My career spanned all aspects of residential real estate, both in marketing, advertising, sales, sales management, general brokerage, home building, and I even spent a little stint of time in commercial real estate.
Outstanding. Barry, give us the rundown on you and your background.
I am the division manager for Fisher Homes, starting up our new division here in Atlanta. And before joining Fisher, I worked with John Whelan Homes here in Atlanta, Centex Homes, and before that, I was a submarine officer in the Navy.
Oh, now that is cool. I like that. We're not here to talk about submarines, though. Okay, I got to go back. Well, I know you have the greater tenure of the two, Barry, with what, 6 months?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Give us the nickel tour through Fisher Homes.
Fisher is an amazing company. They were founded in 1980 by Henry Fisher in the Cincinnati, Ohio market. And it's just been around for over 30 years. They've got an amazing reputation with their customers. They've been a very successful and growing company, even expanding into new markets throughout this downturn that housing just went through. And they've just got amazing people, and we're really excited about bringing that Fisher brand to Atlanta and building some new communities here in this market.
Yeah, amazing like you two guys, right? That'd be two examples of the amazing people.
That's right.
Very exactly.
Good. Very good.
Well, I know you've got some exciting news for us today. You were sharing with me as we were walking into the studio that you have homes under construction.
We do. We started our first homes under construction in May, and that was after a busy first few months that resulted in, at the beginning of May, closing on neighborhood number 9 in a 45-day period. So we're definitely committed to the Atlanta market and having many happy customers here for many years to come.
Well, speaking of committed to the Atlanta market, right now the Atlanta market looks pretty good, Jason.
Yes, it does.
But it hasn't for the last few years. I mean, what caused Fisher to think that this was a good market? You didn't make this decision in May.
No, that's very, very true. Fisher, about 4 years ago, expanded outside of Cincinnati to Columbus and Indianapolis. And with the aggressive growth strategy that we have, they needed to open up additional markets in order to meet that strategy. So after many, many months of research, Atlanta really did seem like the right fit for our growth potential.
9 communities is a lot of communities to bring out of the ground year one. Will you be building in all of them this year, or what's your plan? What are we going to see you open first and where?
We are absolutely going to be building in all of those before the end of this year. It is aggressive, and it's a lot of work to get that much going at one time, but we expect that there will be more neighborhoods in addition to that. We've got some other neighborhoods that are under contract and sites that we're investigating, and we hope to open more than that before the end of this year throughout North Atlanta.
Talk a little bit, Jason, I'll ask both of you, but Jason first, who are you building homes for? Is it the first-time home buyers? Is it for an old coot like me, somewhere in between?
That's a great question. You know, with 9 communities coming out of the ground pretty much all at the same time, we really do have a home that's fit for everyone. Our price points here in Atlanta will actually run from about the mid-100s, which is ideal for a first-time home buyer, all the way up to more than $600,000-$700,000, and I wouldn't be surprised if we actually had homes approaching $1 million in some of our neighborhoods.
Wow.
There are lots of home builders in Atlanta. We have the bigs, we have the littles, we have the mediums. How is Fisher different?
I would definitely say that architecturally, that is one of Fisher's strengths that will make us unique in Atlanta. Customer satisfaction is through the roof. I mean, the company Last year, throughout all three cities where they build, had a 98% customer satisfaction rating, which is unheard of in most industries, but especially in home building. So I would say architecture and how we do the right thing for our customers will really be two things that make our home buyers happy.
We spend a lot of time and effort creating wonderful communities, neighborhoods, streetscapes. We have an in-house architecture department that will update our plans accordingly, and recently actually spent a lot of time updating a lot of our elevations. So we offer many different styles of elevations, for example, craftsman style, southern, cottage, English manor, even New England. And we're not afraid to mix those styles in a neighborhood together on a single streetscape, which allows us the opportunity to have the same floor plan next door to each other, and anyone driving down the street would not have any idea that it was the same floor plan built next door to each other.
All right. We'll be back with Jason and Barry after this short commercial break.
When was the last time you browsed the web from your mobile phone? With more consumers than ever searching for your business on the go, it's important that you make a great first impression. Make sure your website is making the most of your mobile presence with content designed uniquely for smartphones and tablets. Get started with the team at Marketing Relevance today. Call 770-383-3360 or visit marketingrelevance.com.
All right, and we're back with Jason Schwartz and Barry Gittleman of Fisher Homes.
Barry, I'm interested in how you work with a buyer. And if you take a guy like me, I'm a combination of knowing precisely what I want, to know it all, and clueless. And so just talk about how you walk someone through, how you work with a buyer to figure out what it is that I want and how I want it and those kinds of things.
Sure. I'll let Jason talk a little bit about our sales process and how our sales counselors are going to work with you to make sure that you end up in the perfect home for you. But I can tell you that we recently moved into our new office space right in Vinings, and we are using over half of that space as our design center, which a lot of the builders in Atlanta have gotten away from having design centers in a large office space and just moved them into a room in the model. But we will definitely offer our customers a lot more choice, options, and selections, both interior and exterior to the home, and we think that'll be something that our buyers really enjoy.
There is a sales process that most good sales counselors will adhere to. When somebody comes into one of our sales centers, we really do want to make them feel like they're coming into our home, and we want to make them feel comfortable. We want to establish rapport. One of the things that our sales counselors do is we ask a lot of questions. We call it the discovery part of the process. We really want to understand what the buyer's needs are, what their wants are, where they're coming from, maybe some areas of their existing homes that they want to improve upon, what they're looking for in the new home, things like that. While that's going on, obviously the sales counselor is certainly listening to the buyer's needs and wants and will then take the buyer on a tour of the model homes, of the different spec homes that we call actually market homes, and try to match their needs and wants and dreams, for that matter, to product that we have to offer. Once the buyer selects their home and home site, they have the opportunity, as Barry was saying, to go to one of our lifestyle design centers, which really does help set us apart from a lot of the other builders in town, because we do have a huge opportunity, not just in plans and elevations, but in the types of upgrades and options that we offer to allow our buyers to truly customize their homes and make them feel like their own.
Talk to us a little bit about how you use your website and your social media to connect with buyers throughout the process.
Great question, Carol. As you know, in this day and age, it really is all about technology. And my feeling certainly is, and I think a lot of other people in the industry adapt to this as well, is that with the amount of information that's on the internet, buyers do a really good job of conducting their research prior to them even stepping foot into the neighborhood. So how we connect with our purchasers in that way is, first off, on our Fisher Homes website, which we'll talk more about in a little bit, we actually offer a live interactive web chat on there. So immediately a buyer can link up with someone and ask questions about specific communities, maybe about specific types of homes. And then once we gather that information from the web chat, that information will actually be transferred to a sales counselor for individual follow-up from that particular point. So that's kind of how we use our website. And of course, we have all of our floor plans and elevations and maps and communities and testimonials and things like that on the website as well. In addition, we utilize Facebook. We're constantly updating Facebook. We recommend new home buyers or people in the market to come and look us up on Facebook and see the information that we have posted there. In addition, we actually use Pinterest quite a bit, and we offer opportunities for photography and idea books, that kind of information, because as we all know, Pinterest has become very popular. With our homeowners being able to explore ideas and information there, they can then take that information and utilize it when they visit our lifestyle design centers while they're customizing their home.
Jason, you used the term streetscapes a little bit earlier. Talk about that in a larger concept. I mean, how do you design the streetscape, if you will, along with the architecture of the individual homes and then on the grander scale within the whole community and the surrounding area?
Sure. I'm going to touch upon that a little bit, and then I will actually let Barry expound upon that. We have a very extensive planning process. We have a wonderful land operations department who, after conducting many months of research in proper design, we will then go ahead and plan the neighborhoods. We try to do a lot of curving streets, a lot of cul-de-sacs, to really allow our homeowners to feel like a sense of place and home when they're coming into a Fisher neighborhood. You know, you drive into a lot of neighborhoods and there's that tunnel effect where the streets are maybe just all straight and it's just rows upon rows of houses. We actually also try to offer varying setbacks in our individual homes, so not every house is lined up at the exact same distance from the curb.
One thing I'll tell you is that every home buyer I've ever spoken with who talked about what they're looking for in a community uses the word cookie cutter in a way to describe what they don't want. And many home buyers here in Atlanta and in other markets I've been talking about how they feel like a lot of the neighborhoods they visit feel like the same old thing. And all the houses look familiar. They all look the same. And so that's really what we know home buyers don't want, and what we try to ensure that we give them a lot of variety in the elevations of the homes, in the architectural style, and the different floor plans themselves, mixing them up so that the overall feel of the community is better.
There's a lot of excitement about Fisher Homes coming to Atlanta, both in the industry and then just among buyers. Talk to us a little bit about your first community. What is it? Where is it? What can we expect to see?
You know, Carol, it's not just our first community, because we actually have 8 neighborhoods coming out of the ground at the same time, with 20 market homes and models being started within days, if not weeks, of each other from there. Our neighborhoods are going to range across what we typically would call the Northern Arc. So Cobb County, Cherokee County, Forsyth County, and Gwinnett County as well. And again, as I mentioned earlier, we are going to be offering multiple price points from the mid-100s all the way up to $600,000-$800,000. We do have a custom estate line that we offer as well, that we are in the process of doing due diligence on a few neighborhoods for that line here in Atlanta.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I hate to say it, but we're out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, and where can they learn more about Fisher Homes?
Thanks, Todd. Well, first and foremost, you can visit Fisher Homes on the internet at www.fisherhomes.com. I do want to remind your listeners out there that Fisher is spelled F-I-S-C-H-E-R. So www.fisherhomes.com, where you can actually register for additional information on the Atlanta landing page and see all of our floor plans and features there as well.
And one other thing that I think is really cool about the Fisher Homes website is there's a section, because we have so much emphasis on architecture and design, where it will show you hundreds of images of existing homes that Fisher has built. And the home buyer can click on a dozen or so images, interior and exterior of the home, that really appeal to them. And the website will give them recommendations and say, here are some interior features, or here are some floor plans that might appeal very much to you based on the images that you liked.
A lot easier than describing it verbally.
That's right.
In addition, listeners can visit us on Facebook or Pinterest, or they can call our dedicated Atlanta number at 404-220-220. 9951.
Jason Schwartz, Atlanta Sales Manager, and Barry Gittleman, the Division Manager of Fisher Homes. Gentlemen, it was great to have you. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, and good luck to you. Okay, the deal of the day is next, but stick around for our final segment with special guest Beth Bond of Southeast Green. We'll be right back.
Hey, Forrest, what time is it?
Well, Delaney, it's time for today's deal of the day.
All right, Carol, what have you got for us?
Well, this is very exciting. My new book, Social Media 3.0, was just released by My Home Press.
Your new book?
Yes, my new book.
You've been talking about this for what, the last decade and a half?
I've probably been talking about it for 2 years because I drug my feet on it for a year because it, you know, requires time to write. And then my publisher finally twisted my arm enough, so I finished it.
You think it's going to be as good as the last one, Todd?
I don't know. The last one was pretty darn good.
I know. I read it twice.
I think it's even better.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have any amazing co-contributors on this project?
Well, one of my co-contributors is Mr. Schnick. Yay! Do you know him?
I do. He is a phenomenal writer.
He's Todd Schnick.
This one?
Yeah.
Oh.
He contributed a chapter on podcasting.
Yes, we did. So it's
actually something he knows something about.
It's a Pulitzer. Pulitzer potential, yeah.
This is Carol's deal of the day, Todd. So let's turn the focus back to where it belongs.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, what's really neat about this book is that the content applies to all different types of businesses. You know, my first two were very niched for home builders. And this one still has a ton of home builder examples, but it also has examples for, you know, if you're a small restaurant or if you're a manufacturer, you know, if you're a personal finance company. There's just all sorts of different tips and ideas depending on what type of company you are in the book.
Well, and in all seriousness, Carol, I mean, you're up to your eyeballs in all this social media stuff, and you honestly do know what you're talking about. So I gotta put a plug in there. I've learned more from conversations with Carol in the last book than I care to admit usually, but I'll admit it today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, especially coming from you, Todd.
Yeah. I need more remedial work. You know.
There are some great how-tos in here. Pinterest and Google Plus make their debut in the book, as well as Tumblr, Instagram, Howls, and Foursquare. You know, how to get started with podcasting. We talked about that. There's updated Facebook content because, you know, pretty much every time this is printed, it's out of date, courtesy of Facebook. You know, new campaign examples and case studies, as well as, you know, tips for mobile websites and updated you know, content on a couple of other sites as well.
This is a deal of the day, right? Where's the deal here, Morgan?
Well, Todd knows what the deal is, so I think I'll let Todd announce the deal.
Well, I think what we should do is post this episode on the Facebook page, on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Facebook page. And if you like the page, you will be entered into a drawing to win a free autographed copy.
Autographed?
And maybe we'll even have Carol sign it as well.
Good one, Todd. Absolutely. Yeah, I'll have to watch out, or Todd's going to have his stamp out, stamping all of these from his personal library. But I think that's great. So, you know, you'll see a post on our Facebook page if you go there today. So go to facebook.com/Atlanta Real Estate Forum and look for the post about the book and like it and feel free to comment, and we'll enter you into a drawing for a free book.
Outstanding. Where can people get more information about you, Carol?
They can get more information about me by visiting marketingrelevance.com.
And congratulations on the book, seriously.
Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations. I know how tough that is.
All right. Well, that wraps this special deal of the day. All right, and we're back with our next guest. Say hello to Beth Bond, the curator of sustainable news with Southeast Green. Welcome to the show, Beth.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's a joy to be here.
Well, the joy is ours, and appreciate you carving out some time to be with us. Beth, before we get into Southeast Green, take a few seconds and tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Well, my background is marketing, unlike what Southeast Green does, which is an online news site. And I've been in business for 20 years and on my own for 20 years and helping people tell their stories.
Talk to us a little bit more about Southeast Green. What is it?
First of all, my passion in life, and it's my honor to serve the community that I do. Southeast Green started 5 years ago, and it's a website that is dedicated to telling the green sustainability and environmental news in the Southeast. And we cover from Florida to Texas to Virginia and Maryland. And what we do is we basically aggregate press releases and news stories from all over the Southeast to talk about the stuff that you cannot find in regular news media, which is the sustainability story of the Southeast.
Now, is part of that about cleaning products and other chemicals that are around the home and how to deal with all that?
We had a little bit of that. Primarily, the site is geared towards business because there was no place really where the business story was being told or the environmental policy story with the downgrading of newspapers, TV news outlets. There was no place for that part of the community to have their story told. But being a female and being a consumer and green being so important to consumers also, we do have a section on the site that's sort of dedicated towards consumers. And we certainly do have news about green cleaning products and things like that. Actually, okay. It's very broad. We do cleaning products and diaper. You know, it's a lot of stuff.
Oh, okay. Just quick question on a personal side. I've been in my house 17 years. I'm cleaning it out to sell it. And I have found cleaning stuff and gosh knows what. I'm just wondering, how do I get rid of it safely?
Don't pour it down the drain.
No, I know, right? I know that. But is there a place I can go to give me some guidance?
Your county or your city probably has a hazardous waste event. Being mindful of what's happening, you also probably have some type of recycling event that will handle things like electronics and, you know, stuff, right? The stuff. Even though it's, you think about it, a lot of people throw it away, but 80% of what we throw away can be recycled. So you just have to be mindful of that. But there's plenty of places like, you know, the Goodwill, you know, will take a lot of, you know, the household items.
Let's talk a little bit more about cleaning products. I know that there's a lot of chemicals that we use in our house that really aren't safe to be around. I mean, one of the things that I've changed is I now use a parsley spray on my countertops. What else is out there? How can we be more environmentally friendly about what we do clean our homes with?
Well, the first thing I want to caution consumers is you have to read your labels. And even when you read the labels, just because it says it's natural does not necessarily mean it's non-toxic. There's really nothing regulating this, and companies can make any claim they want. So I really caution people. But we have a cleaning handbook on Southeast Green under tips and facts to let people use baking soda and borax and vinegar and lemon extract to make your own cleaning products, and very, very much less toxic for you and your family. And, you know, it's pretty easy to make. And, oh, by the way, it's very inexpensive. So that's where I like to start is, you know, basically you think about Drano and people are always like, well, be careful because it hurts your pipe, and not just to call, but, you know, one of those pipe cleaners. But you can use baking soda, vinegar, and hot water to clean your pipes. It's pretty easy.
Is it possible to take those kind of things and scale it up to a commercial scale? I mean, it's one thing to make your own home cleaning products. It's another thing if you've got a 50-story building.
Right. There are, we actually, on Southeast Green, we have a couple of companies who carry green cleaning products that we trust and we support for the work environment, because a lot of people have allergies now, right? You know, just like a lot of people don't wear perfume anymore because there's so much sensitivity around that, there's a lot of people in offices who have to be careful, and offices inherently, if they're older, have really bad air quality. So there's a lot of need to have fragrant-free cleaners in office environments. So there are companies that are doing that.
All right. We'll be back with Beth Bond after this short commercial break. Great news stories don't just happen. They are the result of cultivating relationships with the media. Public relations is a great way to add excitement to your marketing program, while also creating third-party credibility. With decades of experience of working with the media online and offline, the Marketing Relevance team is uniquely positioned to deliver your company's stories. Call us today at 770-383-3360 or visit marketingrelevance.com. All right, and we're back with Beth Bond, the curator of sustainable news with Southeast Green.
Beth, before the break, we were talking about products you can make to clean your house that would be more environmentally safe and less toxic. What products should we definitely avoid? You know, when it comes to toxic products, what do we have in our house that we should just stop using immediately?
Immediately, bleach. Bleach is one of the worst, most toxic things you can use in your house. And of course, we use it for a lot of things and people don't realize how dangerous it is. And that is the very first product I would get rid of. It's, I mean, think about it, you know, it'll change the color of your clothes if you spill it on your clothes. And it has fumes involved. And so bleach would be the very first thing that I would get rid of.
That surprises me. I had no idea it was that toxic.
It's very toxic. In fact, there was a chlorine spill from one of the major brands. And they had to actually warn the neighbors and create areas of, you know, sort of toxic zone while they were trying to clean up. It's very toxic.
Gosh. Now, I want to be careful how I set this question up. I am four square solidly behind the whole green movement. I mean, it's crazy not to do it. One of the things I get concerned about is a lot of folks can kind of swing too far and kind of go over the top. How do you distinguish? How does, you know, an individual or somebody responsible for a commercial building make the division between what's crazy, you know, lunatic fringe kind of green movement, and the things that we really, really need to be doing?
Well, you know, I always tell people it's progress, not perfection, right? I mean, I think that for a long time it was sort of like a guilt trip if you didn't do it. I think that the way I like to approach it is the reason to be more sustainable or green, quote unquote, is think about waste. And there's a lot of things we do with waste. So if you think about waste, you know, recycling, getting rid of waste there. If you think about, you know, turning off your lights in your building. I mean, it's amazing. I just have been doing some work with a church in Buckhead. They had one meeting in one room once a week that they were leaving the air conditioner on for this one meeting once a week.
Wow.
And, you know, they just didn't assess it. And so when they assessed it, they moved the meeting over into one building, so they're only using the air conditioner in one building. It's a huge church, and they're not running the air conditioner during the week in that building because no one needs it. They saved $40,000 in 1 year.
$40,000?
Yeah. It's like, it puts it
I'm going to go talk to the pastor this evening and see what we're wasting.
Well, and I am on the board for Georgia Interfaith Power and Light, and that's one of our tenets, is to help churches reduce their waste. And I think, you know, I was talking to someone and he was sort of pushing us about, oh, it's too much. And I'm like, look, instead of judging people about what's too much, let's start with waste. You know, how can we just do things we don't think about? You know, I spent a week with a friend's kids and she had to go out of town, and all I did all week was turn off lights. They left their water running for the cat in the bathroom whenever the cat meowed, but they didn't think about turning it off. So let's just think about stopping that kind of stuff, and then maybe we can get to the point where we're judging. But I just think simple steps make a big difference.
My cat requires that I turn the water on for her as well, but I turn it on and off for her, and she has a big cup of water by the sink. But, you know, you think about it, I wonder if I motion controlled, she would probably sit there and turn it on all day, right? So thinking about the bathroom, cosmetics. I know that's something that you're very passionate about. Let's talk a little bit about cosmetics and toxicity and...
Well, I know that we are on limited time, and I could really fill 3 hours on the cosmetics. I'll tell you what got me involved is I found out they put lead in lipstick, and it's totally legal. And my niece is a ballerina, and what's the first thing they tell them when they go on the stage? We'll put red lipstick on. And lead is linked to disintegration of IQ points, actually. And so the fact that it was, like, okay to put red lipstick on all these little girls and, you know, it's don't worry about it, we don't consume lipstick, really got me angry, because for my niece's sake. And so I got really involved with the Campaign for Safe Cosmetics. And it's very interesting because there's a ton of things that are really harmful, that are linked to cancer, that are linked to hormone disruptors and things like that, that Europe and Canada and Japan and Australia and New Zealand have all banned from their products, made by the same companies that sell here. And yet they've been, you know, their response when we said, well, you're already doing it in Europe, do it here in the States, their response was, well, make us. Woo! Don't say that to a Southern woman now who likes her lipstick. So I've been on a crusade for a couple of years and really changing the what I wear and trying to be, you know, very careful about what I wear. And my niece, as she's gotten older and she's starting to get into makeup, I make sure that she gets all products that have, you know, that are free of all these carcinogens.
Is there a commercial equivalent or analog to the cosmetics example? I mean, something that's done in a lot of different buildings. Just as common practice, we've always done it that way. That's as scary as the cosmetic or the lead and the lipstick example.
I think, you know, the nighttime cleaning is a really good example of that. Well, we've always cleaned at nighttime. Well, do you really have to? Well, it turns out, no, they don't really have to. That they can come in and clean during the day, and a lot of offices are really appreciative of the fact that, you know, the building is making that kind of effort, and it saves them on electricity, and it saves them, you know, they don't have to pay overtime to have cleaning staff come in at night. So I think that's a good analog.
All right. Well, Beth, I hate to say it, but we're out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, and where can I learn more about Southeast Green?
So Southeast Green is www.southeastgreen.com, just like it sounds. And people, if they want to interact with me, can always follow me and tweet me at Twitter, and it's at Beth S.E. Green.
Beth Bond, the curator of sustainable news with Southeast Green. It was great to have you. Thanks so much for stopping by and joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that wraps this week's broadcast. Check us out by visiting AtlantaRealEstateForum.com or by subscribing to the show on iTunes. If you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a customer rating and review on iTunes. So on behalf of today's guests, Jason Schwartz, Barry Gittleman, and Beth Bond, show producer Delaney Young, my co-hosts Carol Morgan and Todd Youngblood, I am Todd Schnick. We'll see you next week on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show.